Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that through the church, your manifold wisdom will be made known to the rulers and authorities. We pray, Lord, that you will open up your word to us, not only in our minds, but in our hearts, so that we will apply what we have heard in our lives, that they will continue to be transformed, so that we may in turn help in your work to bring about the furthering of your kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please can you keep praying for Kim? She should have been preaching today, but she is still poorly, so please pray for her. A few years ago, politicians were asked, I gather this is an annual thing, what they would like for Christmas. And whilst most of them were on the ball and weren't phoned too early in the morning and said that they hoped for world peace and had other such noble aspirations, one of them was caught rather early in the morning and after some reflection said he'd quite like a jar of stem ginger. The press had a field day. I wonder, what would you have answered? What would you like? What's your greatest aspiration? I hate stem ginger, so it wouldn't be that for me. Talking to mums in the run-up to Christmas, the answer often seemed to be peace, but it had less to do with world peace and rather more to do with having the time and space and tidiness and children not arguing, and everything done ready to present an immaculate house, family, and face to the wider world. Are there other women who identify with that? Because even though my children aren't small, I must admit, that was quite a bit on my mind. On Tuesday, my neighbour's son turned up asking if he could retrieve the football he'd kicked into my garden, and because of the outside gates being locked, I had to show him through the back door, and I had to invite him to step over 7 loads of dirty washing in the utility room before he could get to the garden, and apologise because I was not expecting any visitors and was not presenting a shiny face to the world. I was reminded of a sign a previous church warden gave me which said, "I cleaned my house yesterday, you should have come then." Because we all like to present that tidy, clean, ready preparedness sight, you know, with the house smelling nicely of freshly brewed coffee and cinnamon biscuits. Sadly, it doesn't happen very often. Nobody comes whenever I am in that state. We want others to see us at our best. I must admit that I did think when introducing the confession today of saying, what are the things you need to clear out? Because as I got ready for Christmas, I was aware, and put up my Christmas trees, I was aware that there was still a pile of stuff I'd emptied from the packing boxes onto the landing and still hadn't dealt with it. So that is currently in the boxes for the Christmas decorations, and I don't quite know what I'm going to do with it when I take it all out of the Christmas decoration boxes to put the trees away later today. We all have things that we would like to get rid of and for others not to see. Those boxes are very carefully away in cupboards at the moment, and they will need to be sorted. We all have things that need to be dealt with. I keep thinking I'd love to be one of those minimalist people who have a place for everything and everything in its place. And I admit I got more storage when I moved here so that I could be more organised. But somehow life is never totally sorted. There's always an unexpected visitor turning up, and so another load of bedding that has to be dealt with. There's always something. And my problem, I must admit, is that I take after my grandmother. I'm a hoarder. And I've had years of thinking that will come in useful one day. And actually, they always do. And because I've done so many years of assemblies, thinking that's an excellent prop for a sermon or a school assembly. So it was that when my parents arrived on the 22nd, I greeted my mother with the triumphal words, "I found the baby Jesus." Because at the end of the fete, there was a baby doll left over that nobody'd wanted to buy. And I thought, great, that would make an excellent baby Jesus. But I put it away carefully and needed to find it. By the time they came, my house was tidy. Beds were made up for 6 visitors, with changes of ironed bedding available for the quick changes necessary, as my sister's family left on the 24th and my children arrived the same day. I put them neatly in the bedrooms, hoping that my visitors would change the beds before they left. The fridge and cupboards were stocked with food for all contingencies. Board games and a new jigsaw were at a hand. Lights had been hung, trees decorated, presents wrapped, scented candles strategically placed around the house. Everything was clean and organised and Christmassy. Sermons and props, including the baby Jesus, were ready for the various services over the next 3 days in piles on my study floor. All was sorted, ready for the arrival of family and the celebrations of the births of my sister on the 23rd and the Son of God. I was prepared as I could ever be. And I wanted to say, come and see what I've done. Come now before dog hair mars the newly vacuumed carpets, before clean bedding has been dirtied and stripped off and left to be washed, before everything's in turmoil again. And it's to that world, the latter world, that God comes. Not the tidy, sorted one, no matter the order a Roman emperor tries to organise by calling a census, or a power-hungry, insecure Jewish king tries to keep by ordering the slaughter of the innocents, or a newlywed couple might have wished for at the birth of a child. It isn't to the tidy world. It's to the messiness of humanity. It's to the harm and the order other people try and bring which disrupt our lives that God comes. It's to when we're feeling overwhelmed that God comes. It can be tempting to think that we can bring order into the world. I had it for at least half an hour. That we can get others to accede to our wishes. Come and play this game. And even if we haven't got our lives sorted, that at least we present our best side, that our hair's brushed, our teeth are brushed, we've got clean clothes on without food having been splattered by a visiting toddler. But that isn't where we encounter God, because that is us trying to be our own God or to attempt to form God in our own image. God is prepared to meet us in all our untidy messiness before we've dealt with our character flaws, our bad habits, before we've cleaned up our dirty washing, before we've presented a shiny face to the world, before we've got everything sorted. He comes to meet us, and he loves us unconditionally. God doesn't always speak to us cleanly and clearly through messengers, as he spoke to Mary and the shepherds. It could be quite nice to have an angel come. I'm sure I would be fearful, but, you know, at least that was a really good, clear message. Sometimes God communicates with us in ways that leave us having to reflect, to ponder, to use discernment and our knowledge of scriptures and our past experiences of him to work out what he actually is saying to us. Life is not as clear as a Hayes car manual. But that is so that we spend time with God, seeking that discernment, seeking that knowledge. The wise men did not, as popular culture might erroneously have us believe, turn up the night the baby was born. By the time they worked it all out and got ready and travelled, Jesus was a child. He wasn't a great teacher able to give clarity to an obscure theological thought. He wasn't yet a miracle worker able to perform signs which might help their faith or bring healing. He wasn't yet a proven saviour who had redeemed. He was an infant. Infants are lovely, really lovely. They're made in the image of God. And we need to look for that to seek God's face. But actually, that's only half the story. Christ came and lived among us so he could be God with us, but he needed that time to grow up. He was a child with God-given potential. I love the way that toddlers love unconditionally. Are you perfect parents? But your children still love you, don't they? They do. Toddlers love unconditionally, even to those who are the worst of parents. And I'm not saying you are. You look like lovely parents. But there are some who are not good parents, and their children still love them unconditionally. And is there anything better than hearing a child laugh? Seriously, if you could bottle a toddler when they are just so full of delight and joy, I think we'd all be walking around the whole time listening to it with great big smiles on our faces, because there's something infectious. Those are those moments when I really think that they reflect God the most. It's their lack of inhibition. But remember too that this child was special. He was without sin. Yes, he would still have broken things, because toddlers actually pull on tablecloths. I don't think Mary would have had tablecloths, but you know what I mean. They fall into things just because they're not in control of their limbs. They don't mean to make a mess, but that's just their curiosity. But Christ was without sin. The wise men had their eyes open and were alert. They were looking for signs. They saw them in the stars. I think we miss much of what God is doing in our lives and in the world because we are not watchful, not alert, not expecting to hear more from God, to see what God is doing. But they saw, not because they were looking for God, but because they knew that they could see signs in the stars. I'm not calling you all to do that at all. But they were alert, and we need to be more alert and more watchful, looking to see what God is doing, listening to hear what he is saying to us, spending the time reflecting and working out what he is saying, because as I say, it isn't as clear as a Hayes car manual. And they were prepared to travel. They didn't just expect God to come to them, they were prepared to move. How prepared are we to move? To put ourselves out, to travel, to encounter God? We meet God when we're prepared to move out of our comfort zone, out of the familiar, to travel to a foreign culture, a strange land, a different kingdom. I was raised an evangelical, but one of my last churches was very Anglo-Catholic, totally out of my comfort zone. But actually, I think I caught greater glimpses of God because I wasn't expecting to encounter him there, and I saw him in new ways, which really helped strengthen my faith and my knowledge of him. As Christians, we are expected to live as aliens in the world, being citizens of the kingdom of God, living counterculturally so that we can point others to the good news, helping those walking in darkness see the light of Emmanuel, God with us. One day we will see him face to face when we stand before him. For now, I think we get glimpses of our Saviour, flashes of light, blessings which help us clarify our vision of him, but only if we're actually keeping our eyes open and able to interpret those glimpses, those flashes. Sometimes they come when we worship him. At the end of this sermon, I've asked Alex to play a YouTube clip of Chris Tomlin's carol, Noel, which has really blessed me over this Christmas time with a new vision of our God, and which is a carol I hope that we will sing in the future. Please make reference to. But often these glimpses, those flashes, come as reflected light as we see them through other people. Each Christmas I do a Wasgidge. Has anybody done one of those? It's a jigsaw. Wasgidge is jigsaw spelt backwards. And when you see the box, it's as though you are all looking at me and that I'm the front of the box. But actually what the jigsaw ends up with is what I'm seeing. It's all of you. But of course it's funnier than that, because you'd all be doing very, very silly things and silly things would be happening to you. Or sometimes the Wasgidge is this view that you're getting, but actually it's put into the future. It's a jigsaw which reminds us that it takes time and patience and awareness to piece together our view of God and his kingdom. It's a view that we don't actually have in total, do we? We can get ideas and glimpses of what the kingdom of God is going to be like from hearing the word, but we can't see it properly. And a Wasgidge is a bit like that. It reminds me that God alone sees us as we are and loves us, that God alone sees our potential and how we could end up, and that he invites us to be a part of putting together his future kingdom. We can't see clearly how that kingdom will be, but if we're prepared to be patient and keep working to slot things into place, one day we will see the finished, as yet unseen, unrealized picture. The Christ, the Messiah, wasn't born into order, but into discordance, disruption, displacement, and disorder. In other words, a world many find themselves in now. Think of all the refugees whose lives have been totally disrupted. Those who initially were aware of his presence and worshipped him were prepared to move, to journey in order to see him. They gave of their time, their energy, their wealth, and they worshipped him. As you listen to Chris Tomlin's Noel, may I invite you to come and see what God has done and to worship Jesus, love incarnate, love divine. My prayer for us this year is that we will all find our passion for furthering God's kingdom fanned to flame, and that we will all be inspired to work together to slot into place all the pieces which create something we are not as yet able to totally discern. To do that which God would have us do now, before we feel we are ready or the time is right. To watch out for those glimpses and flashes so that we can make sense of what God is saying to us. Come and see what God has done.